Hang on. Are we still there? We're there. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Qala tabaraka wa ta'ala fi kitabihi al-kareem. Ba'ad an aqul a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alif Lam Ra, tilka ayatul kitabil mubin, inna anzalnahu qur'anan arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Nahnu naqussu alayka ahsana al-qasas bima awhayna ilayka hadha al-qur'an, wa in kunta min qablihi lamin al-ghafilin. صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما اللهم ارنا حقيقة الاشياء كما هي اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه امين يا رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope you all are doing well on the 13th day of Ramadan, is it? It's 13th for me, 12th for a whole lot of you. We're moving right along in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in light of these conversations that Allah is having with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the different events in his life are unfolding. Now, of course, we read the story in retrospect once it's already been written, but the one writing it is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah. They are the ones writing the story, their stories, and the story pretty much has an influence. It impacts history for generations and generations to come. That's how powerfully the story was written. And within the story of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets to hear a lot of other stories, stories that influence his life. One particular instance when a very important story is told to him, it comes at the most difficult time in his prophethood. And that is what we know as the Aam al-Huzn, or the year of grief. What happens in this year of grief is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he suffers two huge losses. One of them is the loss of Abu Talib, his uncle. Now, the relationship between Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Talib has been one of the most important ties, most important relationships of his entire life. Abu Talib, after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost one caretaker after another, I mean, we know he was born an orphan. Father had already passed away. He went in the care of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha and her husband, and then he came back to Amina, his mother. She passed away. Then he moved to his grandfather, who passed away. And then finally he came to the care of Abu Talib, and he was raised by Abu Talib. So from there, this has been, it's something of a father-son relationship as well. And Abu Talib being the leader of the tribe as well, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam announces his prophethood, all the opposition that the Quraysh wanted to extend to Rasulullah, they were not able to extend it because of Abu Talib. Because despite not being a Muslim himself, he did not accept Islam as the Ahlul Sunnah tradition we hold on to, we believe. He still provided a protection to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he's part of my tribe. And it is important also to realize that Abu Talib not accepting Islam, but still extending this protection to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a slap in the face of the Quraysh, because Abu Talib's stand was that this is me standing by him in accordance with the values of our tradition. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Muhammad, is, he has these rights according to our tradition. And I am willing, despite not believing in him or becoming a believer as such, I am standing by him to the point that he had to suffer. Now, his suffering on account of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not just him, the entire tribe of Banu Hashim, they were boycotted by the rest of the Quraysh. There was something of an economic embargo on them. There was a social boycott. They had to leave the main city. They had to live in this valley. It was called the Shaybe Bani Hashim. And they did not have access to basic amenities of life. Yet they refused, despite these economic sanctions, to give up Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or to retract their protection that they had extended to him. They were not doing it for their belief and their love for Islam. They were doing it for a member of their tribe. It was those tribal values that they were holding on to, that Abu Talib was holding on to, in accordance with which he extended the protection and support to his nephew. So whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing in Mecca, as much as it hurt the Quraysh, as much pain as it extended to the Quraysh, of course he's not giving them any physical pain, but just that he is standing his ground, it was so painful to them. And that they can't lay their hands on him the way they would have liked to. It's because at that point, up till that point, Abu Talib had been extending that protection, standing strong. He was an evidence against the Quraysh that you can be in a relationship, a very solid, a very meaningful, a very fruitful relationship with Muslims, despite not being one yourself. And that the Muslims themselves, of course, are pretty, they accommodate these relationships, these ties. These are very essential with respect to their values as well. And we would see more of this as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrates to Medina. But we talk about that at that point. Here, Abu Talib is standing strong by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He passes away. The pain of him not having accepted Islam is one. The pain of having lost him, not just as the political support that he had to offer, but also the emotional support that he ought to offer. He was still his elder. He was so much to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And right around that time, he also loses Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. The two of the greatest, strongest supporters of Rasulullah in the Meccan period, one after another, they are taken away from him. And he is devastated. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that Amul Huzn, the Sahaba describe, he did not smile for the whole year. He was that sad. He did what he had to. He did what he had to in terms of communicating the message, in terms of leading those handful of Muslims that were there in Mecca, in terms of meeting people that he had to meet from other tribes, from outside of Mecca. He did all of that. He was hurting. He was grieving. And he continued to grieve that whole time. It was at this point that Allah reveals Surah Yusuf. That when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is grieving, he is hurt yet again, now in a completely different way. he was hurting before as well. There was a lot of pain before. There was a lot of loss that he had suffered. There's a lot of torture, persecution. All of that is still going on. All of that is still going on. The Shayb of Bani Hashim, it barely ended. The boycott in the valley of Hashim, where the economic sanctions put in place by the Quraysh were so strong, or they were so strict, that Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba did not have food to eat. Not just Rasulullah ﷺ and the Sahaba, the Banu Hashim, all of them, even their kids, did not have basic food to eat. They would literally be eating shrubs, leaves. And how many of those do you have in the desert? They would literally melt leather, try and cool that off. And they had to have that passed down their throats to quench their hunger, their thirst. It was pretty much all that they had. Food had to be smuggled in. It had to be smuggled in. That was the difficulty that they just went through. They just experienced. And now Abu Talib passes away. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha passes away. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, whose memory lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till his own death. Whose anybody saying anything against her, even Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not tolerate that no one says anything about Khadija. Years after she passes away. Years after she passed away. He remembers her. He sends gifts to her friends in her memory. And he continues to proclaim that she was the first to believe in me. She supported me when nobody else was supporting me. She was believing in me when nobody else was believing. And he remembered that till his last. And always reminded others of it as well. Of what Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha means to this deen, means to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He loses her. Again, we started off with the sort of support that she extended to Rasulullah, believing in him when he's not even believing in himself, when he's doubtful. His anxiety, it's at its zenith. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was held strong by Khadija. He loses her. So this grief is responded to in Surat Yusuf. In Surat Yusuf, another question is also answered because by this time now we're entering the last part, the last few years, last couple of years in Mecca. The interaction with the Bani Israel had started. Somehow the Quraysh had started deputation sending them to the tribes in Medina and started sort of complaining about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this guy is like making all these claims about being prophet. And you guys got prophets. You have a, you know, prophetic tradition, books, holy books, revelation, all of that stuff. We don't know nothing about this. So can you give us some questions so we can sort of trump him? We, you know, ask him something he can't answer. And so most of those questions, three in particular, they get answered in Surat Bani Israel and Surat Kahf. One of those questions gets addressed in Surat Yusuf as well. Maybe this question came at a different time. But the question was as to how the tribes, the 12 tribes of Bani Israel, how did they end up in Egypt? With the story of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is in Egypt. The Fir'aun and the whole fiasco that's taking place with Fir'aun, that's in Egypt. Whereas Ibrahim alayhi salam had left Yaqub alayhi salam in Jerusalem. So how do they end up in Egypt? And the story of Yusuf alayhi salam answers that question. So it's answering the question that the Bani Israel, the tribes of the Jewish people in Medina ask. It is answering Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's emotional need for the way the story is narrated. It is for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to identify with Yusuf alayhi salam. Because within this story, Yusuf alayhi salam is betrayed by his brothers. At that point, in that state of isolation, having lost his greatest support, the betrayal of his own brothers, being Quraysh, his cousins, these are people of his own tribe, it is becoming all the more pronounced now that his greatest supporters are no longer alive. So the pain that the Quraysh are giving Rasulullah, the betrayal, is the betrayal of brothers. And so for him to identify with Yusuf alayhi salam as to how as a child he was betrayed by his brothers, left in a well, sold off in slavery, all of that, the jealousy that the brothers had. And so many times in his interactions with the Quraysh, they didn't have intellectual problems. They didn't have religious problems. They had personal problems of envy. You became prophet. God chose you and not me or not us and not the great chiefs of the two awesome tribes of Mecca and Taif. How could this be? It was envy. This is something that we find acknowledged by the likes of Abu Jahl, that we were competing with them neck and neck in everything. They gave charity, we gave charity. They were hospitable to the pilgrims, we were hospitable to the pilgrims. And now they've produced a prophet. How the hell do we match that? They said it outright. So much of it was jealousy, like the jealousy of the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, that Yusuf ahabbu ila abina minna, like Yusuf is more beloved to our father than us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gets to identify in the surah with Yusuf alayhi salam, yes, but also Yaqub alayhi salam. Yaqub alayhi salam and the pain that he was feeling when his sons, Yusuf alayhi salam, Binyamin, Yehuda, three sons, for the most part, Yusuf, for the most of his life, was taken away from him. That pain, the bathi wa huzni, innama ashku bathi wa huzni ilallah, where he says that I'm going to complain to Allah about my pain, about my grief, about my suffering. Rasulullah has that to identify with. And all the aspects of identification, being able to relate with people of strong moral character, his own ancestors, his own brothers from the prophets, Rasulullah also gets a prophecy within the surah. And the way the Quran prophesizes, the prophecy is not in the sense that this is what is going to happen to the dot. It is vague. It is implied. And there is a whole lot that the person receiving the prophecy, the prophet himself, has to do and his supporters have to do to make it come true, to make it come into reality. So Rasulullah ﷺ, in that moment of extreme dejection, sadness, and weakness, is being told Yusuf ﷺ he prevailed in the end. The brothers were remorseful. They were sad. They were dejected. They were incredibly guilty. And they presented themselves before Yusuf ﷺ in this abject state of destitution, utterly humiliated, asking for forgiveness. And we get to see the same state expressed by Abu Sufyan when in his abject state of destitution, look at the Quraysh in Mecca, the way they're treating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba, the arrogance, the might, the power, nahnu usba. But the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam said, our father loves Yusuf more and we are the strong people. We are the strong bunch. And you look at the Quraysh expressing the same arrogance. Look at us, we're so strong, we're so gifted, we have so many, look at Walid bin Mughira and how many sons he has, and look at Abu al-Hakam and how much intelligence he has. Look at all of these people. Look at all the might of the Quraysh and of the Taif. And of the people of Taif, the Saqif, the tribes of Saqif. Look at all of that. And he's getting prophethood. He's being made a prophet. The jealousy, just like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. Hang on, my Instagram's messing up. Come on. Coming back. Why isn't it coming back? Come on, what's wrong with you? Nothing I can do. It'll just come back on its own time. Are you back? It's back. Okay. So that's something you can identify with. And then the apology, the destitution, the weakness of the Quraysh, of Abu Sufyan, begging Rasulullah to renew the pact of Hudaybiyah. You see that being reiterated, or you see that being prophesized in a sense when the brothers of Yusuf are openly acknowledging in the court, coming in destitute poverty, that have mercy on us. And when they recognize that this is Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, our father was right. You deserve to be chosen over us. You deserve to be chosen over us. The words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uses at the conquest of Mecca are the exact same words that Yusuf alayhi salam uses for his brothers. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. No blame on you today. Forgiven. He reenacts that forgiveness of Yusuf alayhi salam. So imagine this Amul Huzn, this year of grief in which Allah is telling Rasulullah alayhi salam this story. And Rasulullah is holding on to this story for so many years until the conquest of Mecca, where he realizes the story himself, where he writes this part of the story as it was prophesized himself with the help of the Sahaba. He makes it come true, of course, with the help of Allah. The possibility was opened up before him at this time when he is at his lowest emotionally. He is at his lowest. And this is something that the story acknowledges. Just to go into the words that are used, we'll just do a few ayats from the beginning and few ayat towards the end of the surah. Alif Lam Ra, tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Allah says, Alif Lam Ra, these are the ayats of the clear book. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan. We have definitely sent down this Qur'an, this Arabic Qur'an. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, so that you use your aql. Incredible. Again, unprecedented in spiritual traditions, or at least the way spiritual traditions were understood at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Revelation is being sent down. Why? To empower the aql. Not to negate it, not to put it to a side, but to empower it so that people use it. Particularly, why is that aql necessary? Because it is through that aql, through understanding, through knowing, that you're able to attain self-mastery, self-control, especially when you're emotionally overwhelmed. And the necessity of that spiritual and intellectual understanding and its significance can only take place if we understand the significance of how emotionally overwhelming certain experiences can be, and how emotional human beings really are, and how that leads to a better society. In this particular state, Rasulullah ﷺ emotionally overwhelmed because of the loss that he's just experienced. And the Sahaba, of course, are grieving with Rasulullah ﷺ. نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. Allah says, let us relate to you the best story, the best of stories. بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ, just like we've revealed to you this Quran. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِن قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ, and before this, you were of those who did not know. You were ignorant. You were of those who are ignorant. Again, a consistent attitude that the Quran inspires in its readers, in its listeners, to understand your state of not knowing. That's how you're going to benefit from the knowledge that you're getting. Get rid of that arrogance. Bring this humility forward so that you can learn. You can grow stronger. The story then goes on, of course, to talk about Yusuf alayhi salam in his youth, in his childhood, actually, very weak. Blessed, but weak. Brothers, very strong. Did all of what they did. And you will relate that Surat Kahf has a very similar constitution to Surat Yusuf. Begins with a group that is weak, the Ashabul Kahf, tortured. And they correspond with, of course, what Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are experiencing in Mecca. And the surah ends with Dhulqarnain, the powerful, strong king, and his example to inspire the believers. That's at the end of Kahf. Yusuf alayhi salam's story, he's weak in the beginning. And towards the end of the story, he's almost a king. He is the closest to the king. He is a person of power. Right? So both of these surah implying a prophecy. This is your destiny should you choose to make it come true. Look at how, what stages Yusuf alayhi salam went through, how he expressed sabr, and what came out of that. And towards the very end, of course, and I do have a more detailed, of course, in our Ramadan nights, we've done this, and that'll be shared soon, an entire series on Surah Yusuf, going ayah by ayah, relating with all the different aspects of seerah as they occur in this particular surah. So towards the very end, the surah in its last ruku, it talks about the state. ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكِ. This is from the news of the unseen, Ya Rasulullah, نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكِ, which we revealed to you. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ, you were not with them, with Yusuf's brothers. إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ, when they were planning their plan, and they agreed on their plan, and they reached a consensus, وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ, and they were scheming. وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. And despite your desire, most of the people will not believe. You showed them this. You had no idea about this. And it was an answer to their question. And you've given it in so much detail, which corresponds to the details that they have that you don't have access to. Yet they're not going to believe. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. It's not that you're asking them any reward for it. You're not going to get paid for this. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is just a reminder for the people of the worlds. And the ayat go on as to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is supposed to do in this state. And it mentions something, that the help of Allah, ayah number 109, I'm skipping ayat, but for the lack of time, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَى. We did not send before you messengers except men to whom we revealed, choosing them from the people of the town. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, don't they travel through the land? فَيَنْظُرُوا to see كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. What was the end of those before them? وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرُ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. And the home, the hereafter, is better for the people of taqwa. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُمْ. Don't you use your aql? حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ. Until when the messengers gave up hope. وَظَنُّوا. And started thinking. So this is to depict the state of affairs as it prevailed among the small band of believers in Mecca. That the going had become so tough. The situation was so difficult, so constricted, so strained, that this ayah number 110, telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that, how this was similar in previous prophets as well, that it became so bleak that even the messengers gave up hope and started thinking. You can't control your thoughts that come in a state of completely being overwhelmed emotionally. That's where your aql and your spirituality are to be harnessed and to be strengthened to continue standing. They had started to think, أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا, that maybe they were lied to, that the help of Allah is not coming. جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا. It was at that point that our help comes to them. And they had almost broken. That's how difficult things get and got. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَى. Then whoever we wanted, we saved. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told at this stage. Now we know what you're going through. We know it very well. You and the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala. And that is to depict the state that it was in, and that's where this story comes in. And it was upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon hearing this story, it was upon him to make this story his story, make this come true for himself, and he did. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.